You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Good morning, Evansville. This is Kelly Scroggins, and we are here today with, we have special guests today. I'm sorry. Good morning, Evansville. We have special guests. We have with us Evangelist Beverly Brodus Green from Rancho Cucamonga, California. She is a member of Golgotha Trinity Church. She is also the mother of the internationally known rap star Snoop Dogg. We also have with us Prophetess Monet from Indianapolis, Indiana. She is with Love All People Ministry. We also have Pastor Jose Beverly, also from Indianapolis, and a Evansville native, Pastor Adrian Lavelle from Muncie, Indiana, from Reach Ministries. Help me welcome our guest this morning. We are so blessed to have our guest here with us. And so, again, you know the number to call in is 812-424-1400. If you're calling locally, if you're calling outside of our area, please call toll-free 888-846-7867. So again, help me welcome our guests, Evangelist Brody, Prophetess Monet, Pastor Beverly, and Pastor Adrian Lavelle. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
So excited.
Wow, yes. What a treat. Well, Evangelist Beverly.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about your ministry, the work that you do. Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, some 6 years ago, God called me as an evangelist. Well, I was already in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And once he called me as an evangelist, then he put me where I travel.
Mm-hmm.
So I go all over to schools,
mm-hmm.
and I go to churches. I've even been to City Hall.
Okay.
And wherever I can go and spread the word of the Lord, that's where I go.
Okay.
And I enjoy it.
Amen.
I really enjoy it.
Okay. I know that God has really given you a burden for addiction,
yes.
and gangs and gang violence. As far as addiction, tell us a little bit about how you got involved with addiction and, you know, what do you do as far as helping people overcome their addictions?
Well, my father was an alcoholic,
mm.
and I used to look at him and I thought it was so much fun,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to do it. I mm-hmm. wanted to drink. And as I got older, that's what I did. I picked the habit up of drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you're drinking, then you're smoking the weed and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had my children. And as they were beginning to grow up, then I noticed that I would have to make a change in my life because these kids are not going to stay small.
Right.
They're going to grow up and be men's one day. And so when God called me
mm-hmm.
Just 30-some years ago,
mm-hmm.
I had to let that stuff go.
Right.
I refused to pass it on to my children.
Right.
Okay. And so even though Snoop was in gangs, so he said, I knew nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was a working mother. I took care of my children. Mm-hmm. I took them to church. They were in Bible study, Sunday school, mission, you name it, they were in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I made sure it didn't send my children. I took my children to church. And I think with my background of being born in McCall, Mississippi, and my grandmother who had so much wisdom and knowledge, and she instilled that within us, I think that was always on my mind that, mm-hmm. you know, you got to make that change.
Mm-hmm.
You can't keep doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You got to stop it, you know.
Right.
And that's when I stopped it. But yet, and still, I had siblings,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't realize my dad's addiction
mm.
would, you know, run on them.
Right.
And they wound up getting on drugs.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And it was like when my dad passed, they all was on drugs for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was one of the strong ones that found him and my son. And all I did was just trust God to keep me going.
Right.
Keep me going. Even though I cried, keep
right.
me going because dad is in a better place.
Right.
You know?
Wow.
And just trusting God
mm-hmm.
and trying my best to get with people
mm-hmm.
that's going through or been through what I'm going through.
Wow.
You see, and so that helped me to get to where I am today, and I truly thank God for that.
Wow. You know, you have really said a lot. You know, I heard several things in there. You talked about your father being an alcoholic, and, you know, scientists have shown that children who grow up with parents who are alcoholics and addicts, mm-hmm. that they tend to be at least predisposed mm-hmm. to alcoholism. Yes. And so many times we see children who have parents mm-hmm. who are alcoholics and addicts, they end up being alcoholics mm-hmm. and addicts. And so we see that being passed down generationally.
Yes.
Yeah, we see that being passed on generationally. And so I know you spoke to that. And so many times we as parents, when we are engaged in some type of alcoholism or mm-hmm. addiction to a drug or any type mm-hmm. of behavior, negative behavior, we see those, our children, being affected by mm-hmm. our behaviors, you know. And another thing I heard you speak to, about your need or your desire to get away from that life. And you talked about how you got away from it by, first of all, having the desire.
Yes.
You know, because we all know that without the desire, you know, it's impossible to even overcome our addictions and our illness, our alcoholism. Mm-hmm. You have to first be able to own it and recognize that it is a problem, mm-hmm. you know. And so that was powerful for me, you know. And then talking about how you had to surround yourself with those people, you know, who were not using, who were not engaged in that lifestyle. Right. Because we know that in order to make changes, mm-hmm. you have to change the people that you hang around with. That's you have to change those behaviors. Yes. So if any of you are on the table, Prophetess Monet and Pastor LaVille or Pastor Beverly, please, if you have anything, join in. Because I'm sure, Pastor, you can speak to that.
Yes, I can speak to, I've been on the show before with Lisa.
Okay.
About having a father that was addicted.
Okay.
And seeing that and seeing the hurt in that and the damage that it did and making a conscious decision that you don't want to go down that road.
Right.
And then setting yourself around people that will help to not enable you, but that will help you to be progressive
in
making the right choices.
Right. Because, you know, go ahead.
And that's where I would agree with the both of them. As I look back at my childhood experiences, knowing that my father, also an alcoholic, and the abuse from that he gave to my mother and even to us, and I'm just so grateful, as Lisa and Sister Beverly was saying, the importance of making sure you find an audience of people that love you right where you are, mm-hmm. not someone to bring condemnation or judgment, but to love you right where you are and help you work through that. So for that, I'm really grateful. And I see that's why when we actually have the ministry set in place, love all people, it's okay where you are right now, mm-hmm. but it's where we purpose to go.
Amen.
So that makes it wonderful. Amen.
Pastor Beverly?
Well, I've not had any experience personally.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of the parents that I grew up with.
Uh-huh.
And none of my siblings have had any of that experience. And I'm not going to try to speak on any kind of experience except that we've been working in an area
mm-hmm.
called Falcon Creek in the city of Indianapolis,
uh-huh.
where that's prevalent all throughout that community. There's about 6 different apartment complexes, and all of them are low-income apartment mm-hmm. complexes. And we're out there every single day mm-hmm. dealing with those young people, middle-aged people, older people who have been strung out on drugs, mm-hmm. who are alcoholics, and all kind of other kind of situations that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
But I have learned that what we have to do and what we should speak to other people about doing is to go to them and to, you know, like, walk with them,
mm-hmm.
not just point a finger and talk about them.
That's right.
But
that's
be there alongside of them. Mm-hmm. Talk and find out what is it if they're willing to open up. If you spend a little time with those people, they'll tell you.
Right.
They'll feel confident enough mm-hmm. to inform you of why they do what they do and what have you. But mm-hmm. you give us an opportunity to understand what we can possibly do other than just say, well, brother or sister, I'm going to pray the Lord to bless you. No, mm-hmm. we're not interested in just saying that.
Yeah, right.
Right,
our responsibility is to be a blessing to others God is to us.
That's right.
So and we can bless those who are doing those kind of things by just holding them, loving them, and showing them the love of Christ. Mm-hmm. I'm telling them that.
You know, and that's interesting. I think I hear a universal theme. We all talk about the importance of other people, the role that other people played in our lives, either for someone like yourself, Pastor Lavelle, who made the choice that you didn't want to go down that path, because not all children follow the path of their parents.
That's right.
So there are some people who are able to say, you know what, I see what's going on. I don't want any part of this. And as a result, God placed people in your life to speak into your life and to mentor and to lead and guide. You want to share a little bit more on that, Pastor?
And I don't want to by any means be perceived as perfect, because make some choices, and from those choices I learned from them. But I do want to say that's one of the reasons why, and we've talked about this on the show before, one of the reasons why REACH was birthed, which means restore, educate, affirm, cultivate, and help.
Okay.
Reaching humanity holistically through creative programs, training, and development.
Mm-hmm.
The important thing is I like what Pastor Jose said, is in that even though he did not have that experience, he felt a commitment to reach somebody. And so the question we must ask ourselves is, when are we going to take responsibility within our own communities to reach somebody besides ourselves and to help somebody along the way? And somebody that's really a visionary will not see a person where they are, but will see them where they need to be. And then it's our responsibility to reach into that place and to help them to get where they're trying to go. Because if the truth be told, somebody helped us.
And here's what I see all around the table. I see, because of our own life situations, God birthed ministries. We have REACH ministries, which goes into communities outside of the four walls of the church.
Yes, because I pastor a church, Cathedral Praise, but some things the church is not addressing. We are the church. So
we are the church.
We have to address them, and we have to do it outside the box.
And then evangelist Beverly, you know, even your life experiences have taken you to ministries and outside of the church. You've been able to go into places that traditional church folk just don't go.
Right. In fact, you know what? I was in Kansas City, Kansas. I went to one of the baddest schools there, and they let us put the Lord's name in it, and I was able to get up there. I mean, these kids were so out of control, talking and everything, but when I stood up there with the authority, that boldness that God gave me, it was like their eyes, their ears was opened up, because they want to know, what did Snoop Dogg mom got to say? I had Kelly Price mom with me,
and
they wanted to know, what do we have to say to them? And when we got up talking about, you know, our children, we love them, we're not responsible for their actions once they get grown, but one thing about it, if you train them right, they will come back. The apple don't fall that far from the tree.
Wow.
Meaning every knee must bow and every tongue must confess. And thank God.
Yeah, you know, and just that transparency right there.
Yes.
Just that transparency right there. Just to be able to recognize, like Pastor Lavelle said, that none of us are perfect.
That's right.
That we all have some area or issue or some shortcoming that either we are currently dealing with or that we have dealt with.
That's right.
And as true people of God, our role really is, once God brings us through our addictions, you know, to reach back and to see whom we can help, how those experiences can really benefit others. You know, for me, I have restoration ministries because I believe through me, God really restored me, you know, and so I take my life and use my life and the experience and the knowledge that God has equipped me with to reach back and to help restore other people back into that place that God originally intended for us, because really we were all created for his purpose. And then you have love all people. You know, how awesome is that? Love all people. It speaks for itself.
And that was exactly what God gave us some 23 years ago, that our mandate was to rebuild families, restore community, and renew nations. And when we go out to do that, we take God outside of the box, because we not only are we ministers of the gospel, but we have our about our outreach or taking God out of the box by opening up businesses. Mm-hmm. So that he said that if we can draw them through businesses and empower these people and show them another way, God said he's faithful. So
yes, I
understand one thing. I have a passion for loving people because
yes.
I know that it was the love of my mom and our family members that God that we were able to get to where we were.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you're not loved, you know, there's always somebody that God will send in your path
mm-hmm.
to.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And, you know, I was just thinking about that because even in our addictions, you know,
yes.
we talk about going outside of the church. And I believe that God has done he's doing a new thing and he's placing us
yes.
in what we would consider non-traditional places.
Yes.
Like myself, I am a member of several 12-step programs.
Okay.
You know, and even though I have been sober for many years now
mm-hmm.
and have not used for many years, for me, part of my ministry is to remain in 12 steps
yes.
because of the fact
Good.
That what I was able to learn about my addiction, about
yes.
the illness, I
yes.
learned that in 12-step programs.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was through those 12-step programs that I was able to learn
mm-hmm.
how to overcome the craving,
yes.
what to do when you have that thought,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, just all of that. I learned that. And so as a result, I go back into the programs there, and while in the process of helping somebody else, for instance, it also helps me.
Yes.
That's right.
It helps me.
That's
Let
right.
me ask you this question, and
mm-hmm.
maybe you can address this, and maybe Evangelist Green can
uh-huh.
address this as well after your commercial,
mm-hmm.
and that is, what do you say to people who say, okay, well, I don't want to hear about the God stuff,
mm-hmm.
but I want to hear about the steps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why do you have to put God in it, and well, what makes all of us in here saying something about God,
mm-hmm.
and then on the other side of that question, what do you say to the people that say all you have to do is pray?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
good question.
when it says a proverb says
mm-hmm.
now a proverb can, you know, there's all kinds of proverbs
mm-hmm.
out there which
That's
is
right.
wisdoms,
mm-hmm.
but it says in all thy getting get an understanding.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say get an understanding of the Bible only,
right?
But it says get an understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all areas of life that
mm-hmm.
we can get understanding.
Yes.
I want you to, if you will, and I'm not trying to take over your
show. No, please.
But to maybe address how those two can be put together
mm-hmm.
and how important it is for those two, the knowledge of it and the spirit of it, how it's important for them to walk together.
Mm. Good question. Good question.
Okay.
Well, you know, I think for me, you know, we have about 5 more minutes before we go to break.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for me, for those people that I work with in AA who are not ready to hear anything about
mm-hmm.
God.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I do, I accept a person for right where they are.
Yes.
And you know what? And that's why the benefit of having a 12-step program
mm-hmm.
is so beneficial, because there are people that when they first come in, either they haven't had a relationship with God,
mm-hmm.
they've had a relationship in which they've experienced some hurt
okay.
or disappointment, and so now they want nothing else to do with God.
Mm-hmm.
And so when dealing with those people, you give them the steps, because what they don't know early on that we know, because we've already worked through the steps,
right.
is that when you work through the steps and you look at that first step that says, I am powerless. I am powerless.
Yes.
And my life is unmanageable. Just to get somebody to be able to understand that I don't have the power.
Mm-mm.
Just let them be right there for
uh-huh.
now. And if you have to stay at step one forever, that's okay. Then that second step says, came to believe that a power greater than myself
mm-hmm.
could restore me to sanity. Just to be able to even fathom the idea that I can't, he can. And then step three says, made the decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood him.
Mm-hmm.
Without even realizing it, they've walked into the whole idea of God. I can't. He can.
Mm-hmm.
And step three says, I think I'll let him.
All right.
So then, Evangelist Green, when you said you made a decision that this is not, the alcoholism is not what you wanted, it's not what you wanted for you, how did God play a part in that? I mean, was it just God, or was it also you learning how to walk and understanding what you were doing?
He put people's places
mm-hmm.
and events
mm-hmm.
in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I was able to deal with, because I didn't want to pass that on.
Mm-hmm.
But see, you got to remember too, for those that's not addicted to anything, mm-hmm. but they have loved ones that are, mm-hmm. then you have Al-Anon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
That's right.
So I had to go through Al-Anon mm-hmm. to help me. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
That's right.
And because it affected me.
It sure did.
I mean, I was like, wow, sometimes I thought I was using.
Oh, man.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When you are married to a person that's mm-hmm. addicted, it's almost like you are too.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And so going through Al-Anon, I started my own in my home,
wow.
inviting women that was going through the same things I was going through.
Mm-hmm.
We were praying. Mm-hmm. We was trusting God. We stopped bothering them.
Mm-hmm.
Let them go head on.
Yeah.
Just take care of us.
That's right.
Take care of us. We're sick too. That's because right. we're
so
Al-Anon.
So was the enabling an addiction also?
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
The enabling, I mean, because you were married to someone that
yes.
was addicted. So for you to enable him was a part of the how you were bought, you bought into the addiction.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. And let me just even help the listeners that have these childhood hurts, where I saw myself in that my father being an alcoholic, where I saw the abuse of my, it had me at a point where I resented the fact of marriage relationships because I didn't understand
right.
why is this what marriage is about?
Right.
Because children only learn first from their parents.
Yes.
Wow. And so as I saw this dysfunction in my family, I carried that on where it brought resentment in relationships,
wow.
and I wanted to make sure that man knew I was in charge. You know, mm-hmm. sister with an attitude.
Mm-hmm.
But
oh,
this attitude
goodness.
Was not just about that, it was from those childhood experiences.
Right.
So I just wanted to address
right.
the children
mm-hmm.
that are hurting, that are listening, that you're not alone in that. That you know, it takes, the, like you said, a whole village
mm-hmm.
to come in
yeah,
and just say, look,
yeah.
you don't have to. And
mm-hmm.
there were people that were placed in my life and said, sweetheart, it doesn't have to be this mm-hmm. way.
Wow, you know what? We're going to have to take a break real quick.
So
but when we come back, we are going to continue our conversation about how to receive help, even in the church.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about how our childhood situations caused us or gave us a reason in our minds to feel like
bad
we
choice.
Needed to be addicted
mm-hmm.
and how from there we developed other bad habits and
yes.
bad mindsets
yes.
and ways of
yes.
looking for things. And so, Evansville, please come back after the break where we have Evangelist Beverly Brodus Green. We have Prophetess Monet. We have Pastor Adrian Lavelle, Pastor Jose Beverly. So please stay tuned and see you after the break. Well, thank you, Evansville. We're back with our guest again, Evangelist Brodus Green, Prophetess Monet, Pastor Beverly, and Pastor Adrian Lavelle. And I believe we have a caller on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. This is Jacqueline Robinson, and I would like to speak to Snoop Dogg's mother, please.
She's listening.
Okay.
And I would like to say that Snoop Dogg, when I was younger, I liked listening to his songs and Tupac songs and everything back in the days. And so as I grew older and as I got in church, you know, I didn't listen to him too much as much, but I liked him because he's still a fan of mine. And so I thought maybe he was coming with you, but I don't guess he came with you, Mother. But I had a little poem that I wanted to say about Snoop Dogg, if it's okay.
Yes, yeah, as long as it's
broken. Okay. It says, hey, Snoop, you are going to make it, and you are going to get by. So hang in there and try. I know that this day is a remembrance of Tupac Shakur. Like you said, heaven's got a ghetto, and he wanted you to know. It's all about style. That's not even worthwhile. Snoop, you are a soul brother that speaks how you feel. If you really listen to the words, it's really real. So we can change from good to bad, so devil get back, you might as well be glad. We can make it through the hardship and through the pain. We have Jesus in our life, and Jesus, yes, we will gain. So look up to the highest, which is Jesus Christ, oh yeah. Oh yeah, we can walk this walk, talk this talk, feel what's real, pray on and live on. God's got your back. And a little saying that I used to like to hear Snoop Dogg say is a schism, a schism, a schism. And that's what I used to like about him. And so I came out to hear you on the phone, but I can hear you through the radio, Mother.
Okay, well, okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I'm glad that you made it here. And I heard someone say that y'all was going to be at another church. Are y'all going to be at another church, Joe?
Yes. Tonight we'll be at Victory Temple. Pastor LeVar St. Germain, which is at 815 John Street. Tonight she'll be there at 7 o'clock.
And also, your mother, your auntie came to Watkins Temple, or your sister, her name is Eileen Renato. And she had made a tape.
That's Snoop's aunt on his dad's side.
Okay, but that's your, I can't hear, is that your sister, sweetheart? Is that your sister?
No, no, that's Snoop's aunt on his dad's side.
Okay, that's what you gave out the one tape. Yeah. Jesus is your first love.
Right.
And I listen to that all the time, but I did get a chance to meet her.
Okay.
Thank
so
you,
I love you, hon, and I'll be praying for y'all.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, sweetie. Bye.
Wow. You know, Evangelist, I heard her, the poem that she wrote about Snoop was so encouraging. Mm-hmm. And so many times as parents, when we have children that are struggling with some type of addiction or just using some drug or
right.
just any behavior,
yeah.
it doesn't have to be a drug, just yeah. any behavior that we would like to see them change. Mm-hmm. So many times we get stuck looking at what they're doing mm-hmm. and it kind of blinds us from being able to believe that God is really going to bring them through that situation.
Amen.
Lisa, I was listening to that, listening. We talk about our children in terms of addiction. You know, I even see this thing, this new addiction now of rebellion in the hearts of children.
Mm-hmm.
Children have turned, their hearts have waxed cold to the obedience to their parents
mm-hmm.
and how significant that is for these children to live a long and satisfying life. So we want to even call forth that
right.
as being commonplace now where children are not honoring their mother and
right.
father, and we're seeing that their days are numbered short on the earth. So we want to be mindful even of that.
Right. And you know what? Just listen, I think that takes us back to our original comments that mm-hmm. we were going to make before the break. We were going to talk about, one, how to help somebody. I think that was a question that Pastor LaVelle still had on the table.
Mm-hmm.
How do we help someone who goes to church, who says, you know what, I don't want any part of AA or a 12-step meeting. All I need is God.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to address that because there are people who do feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Vangelis, do you have anything to share on that?
Well, I would say like this, when I meet them, I feed them with kindness.
Mm-hmm.
I feed them with love.
Mm-hmm.
I open myself to them.
Mm-hmm.
I embrace them.
Right.
And I let them know I love you.
Mm-hmm.
When you can get them to trust you,
right,
then they'll listen.
Mm-hmm.
They will listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
But before, it's like the kids are out of control because we let them get out of control.
Wow.
All the things that's going on, you got to go back to. It's the church,
mm-hmm.
the school,
mm-hmm.
the community,
mm-hmm.
it's the parents,
mm-hmm.
it's the teachers, and
mm-hmm.
the pastor.
Right.
We
right.
all going to have to come together.
Right.
You know, because we're divided.
Right.
First of all.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're divided, that means everything else is
mm-hmm.
divided.
Mm-hmm.
So we, as a people, we, as a community, we, as City Hall, the community, the parents and all, we're going to all have to come together.
That's right, that's
and
right.
And take a stand
mm-hmm.
and reach out,
mm-hmm.
open our hearts up
mm-hmm.
and receive
right.
our children. And as I was telling you, being my father was an addict, I'd seen my mother and father fight.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up to that.
Right.
So I just knew that that was what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
The guy hit me, I hit you back.
Right.
You stab me, I'm going to stab you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because it was passed on.
Right.
And when you pass this on, you don't know the effect
mm-hmm.
that it has on
mm-hmm.
your children
mm-hmm.
or your grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that's passed on.
Right.
So we going to have to take a stand.
Right.
We going to have to learn. We got to get out there, roll them sleeves up,
mm-hmm.
and get out there and take back what the devil has stolen from us
right.
and our children.
Right, you know, and I think that goes back again to what Pastor LaVelle was saying, that in all things, get an understanding.
Right.
You know, because we need to have knowledge
right.
of how our addictions, our alcoholism,
mm-hmm.
our being victims of domestic abuse, how those things affected our children.
Right.
And yes, and so for those people that I encounter that say, you know, I only want church and I don't want anything else, well, you know, I let them be there. because there really are. I know several people in the church that God delivered, and in an instant, the desire was taken. Yes. They didn't need anything else, and they are still walking in the deliverance of their freedom yet today.
Amen.
But then, there are those that for whatever reason, I'm not God, I don't know why, but for whatever reason, it didn't work for them just going to church.
Mm-hmm.
And so for those people that we see that that in itself is just not working, I truly believe that programs like AA and CA and all the different 12-step programs, I truly believe that they are God-inspired.
Right.
Because just as you and I are all individuals and unique, and what works for you may not work for me or vice versa. So I believe that God in his infinite wisdom, he knew that, which is why he created those programs.
Yes.
So for those chronic alcoholics and addicts like myself, we had another source of wisdom, another source of information that I could go and get that extra that I needed to be able to walk in that freedom that I knew that God wanted for me, you know. And so for those people that, you know, want just church and it works, that's good. That's a great thing. But then I think, too, for me, if I encounter someone in the church and I see that they are steady, relapsing, can't stay sober, still struggling with their addiction, and don't recognize the behaviors and don't really know what to do, I am going to suggest, well, you know what? You want to go with me to this meeting?
Come on.
Because I'm trying with everything that I know to help this
help that person
overcome.
I've got a question. So then how do we bridge the gap? You know, for years I've been hearing and saying, and this is along the way you said, that we have to come together. But then the question is, how do we come together? Do we look at our neighbor who has a son or daughter that's addicted, and we just say, my, that's a shame. That child, that oldest child is addicted. How do we bridge that gap? How do we come together? How do we make alliances? How do we network? And I mean, where, you know, the question we should be asking, you know, we all agree here that we need to come together. But now let's talk about how do we do that? How do we implement these 12-step programs in the churches? Do we build a network within, you know, do we do a media blitz? How do we come together? Do we just, I know one of the ways is that we have to quit looking the other way when we see people with addictions, even in our own family. But can you maybe speak, and some of the others, is how do you propose that we come together to combat this addiction problem in our communities? Because it affects every aspect of our community.
It
affects the economy. It affects health, health care. It has a trickling effect.
Yes, it does.
And so when you say come together, I'm with you on that.
Yes.
I'm on board. Everybody in here is on board. But what do you see in your vision, and some of you at the table, what is in your vision of coming together?
You know what? I think you have to put it in motion. It's time. See, we're talking it. But it's time for us to sit down. We all come together, and we're going to sit down. We're going to put a list of all the things that we need to start doing. And I think we, if we start at the top, we can't go wrong.
So who needs to come together?
The
Is
parents,
it the pastors?
The churches,
parents.
The parents.
Yeah.
The community. The community.
Yeah.
But I think, you know.
Town hall meeting.
Right. I think when you get it started first, I think you should start with the church. And you start with the pastors. And you start with the parents. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You could even get the superintendent from the school. You don't need everybody. You just need a small core of people to come and put it on paper.
And I think you start
making it happen.
I think you emphasize the pastor because they're people of influence, and that is a part of it.
Yeah,
but I started first, Lisa, with me, not only being a minister of the gospel, I took this thing to the street, to an area where I go and establish businesses, and I use that business as a platform to reach people. Just a perfect example, I would go into community, the community that I am now in which I own and operate a restaurant there. I found, I was just driving through an area, desolate area where it was a low-income housing, and I found these children outside playing. So what I decided and purpose to do in my heart was to gather these children, and because I have what's in my hand, which is a restaurant, I would bring the children to the restaurant every Sunday, and I have what I call King's Kids. And I would let the, I would read them stories, I would let them play games every Sunday now, and then I would give them food. Now, this draws. Now, when I first thought it would be just the children, love covers a love is not
right
just
there.
For children.
That's right.
Love is for adults too.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
what happens
yeah.
now in this venture, the parents are coming
mm-hmm.
and they love the
mm-hmm.
little stores because
mm-hmm.
faith comes by here and you can't go give even when you first come into the things of God, give people meat, you have to give them milk.
That's
so
right.
as the parents start coming, now they're hearing faith,
mm-hmm.
walking faith,
mm-hmm.
and they're getting healed of childhood hurts. It's
and,
a powerful
and you know what, Prophetess, you said something that was just burning down deep inside of me. You talked
yes.
about love, because I really believe that before we see any of this happen,
huh.
we all have to really begin to operate out of genuine love.
Yes.
And that's why so many people have been able to get sober in programs like Alcoholics
mm-hmm.
Anonymous.
Yeah.
Because I don't know why it is. There is something about the bond of addiction, the pain of addiction,
mm-hmm.
that when we see somebody
mm-hmm.
who is suffering from something that we have suffered from, your heart goes out to them,
right.
and you are willing to go any distance
yes.
to help them. Your mind doesn't immediately go to, oh, look at her. It doesn't go to condemnation.
No.
It goes to love.
Yes.
You want to do something
yes.
to help relieve that
yes.
pain.
Yes.
And so I believe that even in the body of Christ, we have to really be operating out of true love.
That's
because
right.
when we can operate out of love,
mm-hmm.
I don't see you in your mess. I see you how God sees you.
Yes.
Then when we operate out of love, then we're able to put down our own personal ideas,
mm-hmm.
our own personal agendas,
right.
and come together with all of our resources
mm-hmm.
to bring something into fruition. And, you know, I'm a social work major right now, and one of the courses that we studied, I was just amazed, yet a little discouraged to see that even in printed books, in the social work books,
mm-hmm.
it says that the whole concept of social work started in the church. That the only reason why the government
mm-hmm.
took this program on
mm-hmm.
is because the church dropped the ball. Years ago, it was the churches who started the Hall House and the
mm-hmm.
Jane Dix House. It was the churches who had the missions, who had the homeless shelters.
Right.
It was the churches who would go into communities and move into houses and would work with the people
yes.
in that community
right.
and show them by example how to be good mothers, how to become employed, how to budget your dollars. And so I believe it's going to take that type of unity.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be more than just us saying it. But we need to break because we do have a caller on the line. Caller, go ahead.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Go ahead.
Hello?
They need to turn their radio.
Turn your radio down, can you? Hello? Caller? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. We can hear you. Caller, we can hear you. Okay, well, we seem to be having some kind of technical difficulty. Caller, can you hear us? Okay, well, we're just going to go on.
Okay.
Hopefully, we'll be able to get that call through.
I wanted to make a couple comments pertaining to what we're talking about, and that is that in Indianapolis, we have an academy. It's called Children of Destiny Academy. And what we have started doing, or what we have been doing for the last 16, 17 years, is starting with infants.
Mm-hmm.
And coming on up into the first grade with these young people.
Mm-hmm.
And we truly believe that it takes a village
mm-hmm.
to raise a child.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
So therefore, where we're located,
mm-hmm.
you know, we have people and children all around us. But
mm-hmm.
the main
mm-hmm.
thing I wanted to suggest is this, because we're talking about the churches and this, that, and the other. I believe that if those churches who have a desire
mm-hmm.
or who have the overseer has a vision
mm-hmm.
to help in the community
mm-hmm.
that they're in,
mm-hmm.
then they can do so much if
right.
they themselves will make up in their minds to take a few people
mm-hmm.
in their church or in their congregation
mm-hmm.
and decide that they're going to work with preventing
mm-hmm.
a lot of things from happening
mm-hmm.
with the little, I call them the little people.
Right.
Because the point is this, We're there 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. We feed them breakfast, lunch, and afternoon snack. Mm-hmm. But then we go further than that. The parents know that they are expected to be involved in that child's mm-hmm. life. Mm-hmm. And I am the headmaster of that academy. So if I hear what people are saying about their problems and this, mm-hmm. that, and the other, then we will address those problems right then and right mm-hmm. there. I don't believe in, well, come back on Wednesday right. night to mm-hmm. Bible study, and then we'll talk about it.
Right.
No, I tell you what you do. Sign a little man in or sign a little woman in, and you let's go to my office right now.
Right.
We're
right.
going to deal with this situation right now.
And, you know, I think that's great. And you know, we need more programs like that. And, you know, we're going to have to take a commercial break so that WEOA can pay some bills. But while we're doing that, you know, when we come back, I want to talk about that because we've talked so much about what the church isn't doing. But, you know, part of the problem also is government has to be willing to let us in too, because as the body of Christ, we do have a unique influence and ability yes. to influence our communities. So I'm thinking we're going to need a greater collaboration of all partners being willing. But let's go ahead and take a break so that we can pay some bills.
Card. Save $4 on all Iams dog food in 35 to 40 pound bags and get one can of Iams dog food free with in-store coupon. No matter what life stage, breed, size, or specific need, there's an Iams food that's the right nutrition for your dog. Hurry in for this great...
Good afternoon, Evansville. We are broadcasting live from the brand new Dollar General located at 720 Lincoln Avenue. You won't believe the variety and the convenience, from groceries to housewares to clothing and cleaning products, everything you need for everyday life. It's all here at the new Dollar General in Evansville, 720 Lincoln Avenue. Come on by for prizes and giveaways. We will be here from 12 until 2. That's the brand new Dollar General, 720 Lincoln Avenue, right here in Evansville. We're going to take it back to the studio and more from Radio Rehab.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance.
We are so grateful today to have our guest, Evangelist Beverly Brodus Green, all the way from Rancho Cucamonga, California, also known as the mother of Snoop Dogg. We also have Prophetess Monet from Indianapolis, also Pastor Jose Beverly, also from Indianapolis, and our very own Pastor Adrian Lavelle, who is now ministering in Muncie, Indiana. And so we've been talking today about addiction and talking about the need for not only just the church, but for individuals to embrace some of these needs. And Pastor Lavelle has a very good question on the table about how do we come together and offer real life solutions mm-hmm. to the problems. And so we talked about, I think Pastor Evangelist Beverly and also Prophetess Monet and even Pastor Beverly talked about the church getting more involved. And I'm in total agreement with that, with the church getting more involved and the churches uniting. But one of the things that I see that is a real hindrance to us getting involved is the lack of education. Mm-hmm. Because there are really some doors that we need to enter that it doesn't matter mm-hmm. what church we belong to.
That's right.
And it doesn't matter what title we have, mm-hmm. that if we don't have certain credentials, we can't go through the door.
Right.
And so I think, too, we have to be those kinds of visionaries, too, mm-hmm. Pastor Lavelle, wouldn't you say that?
Amen.
And to recognize what does it take
for me to get through those doors? Mm-hmm. What is it going to take for me to be able to be seen as credible? If I want to operate a real program that's going to get recognized through the courts, recognized through the state and the federal governments, and be able to reap those benefits to keep our program sustainable, then if the requirement is you have to be a licensed clinical social worker, then quit trying to do it just being a minister. Yeah. The requirement is you have to be a licensed clinical social worker.
Right.
So then take the time
to study,
to educate yourself.
That's right.
You know, if the requirement is you need to hold a PhD in a particular area of study, then, I believe in this faith without works. We believe in God for certain stuff, but there are certain things that we need to do so that we can bring that unity together. What do you say to that, Pastor Lavelle?
I agree with you 100%, and that's why I've even gone back and taken some, my area was telecommunications, but I've gone back and taken some human services courses, some additional psychology classes, just to understand at a better degree.
Exactly.
And everybody's not going to go back to school, but, there's books to read, there's, organizations to tap into and find out exactly what the program is.
Yeah, and you know what I also think? I think being able to recognize your own strengths and your own weaknesses, and then to tap into your congregation and to pull from that.
Yeah, maximize
their potential. If you know that addiction, for instance, really isn't your area of expertise, stay in your lane and get someone that you know.
And push them.
And push them.
Because it's not our glory anyway.
Exactly. That's if you know someone that knows how to develop outreach programs, don't take a stab at it and mess it up. Get in touch with someone who can show you, who can empower you, who can offer assistance if our real goal is to offer help.
Yes.
Now, if we have some type of other ulterior motive, that's when we see ourselves trying to be the jack of all trades, when we see programs that are opening and shutting and things not being successful.
So good.
Collaboration,
real collaboration. We do have a caller. Caller, go ahead. Hello? Hello, caller? Hello, caller?
So you going to stay all night at Tanya?
Hello?
He's probably listening to the radio.
Hello, caller? Okay. Just for future reference, when you call into the radio, you really do need to turn your radio down and step away from the radio so that we can hear you and that you can also hear us. Is there a caller on the line? Okay. Well, hopefully we'll get another caller. You know, and so that's what we're talking about, collaboration, Pastor Lavelle. You know, see, a coming together of people of all faiths.
That's
all levels and different walks.
That's so true. You know, you were talking earlier, Evangelist Green and I think Prophetess Monet was saying about going out there, getting active, moving.
Oh, yes.
And if you want a formula, I would equate the formula to information plus application brings about a manifestation. So you get the information, and in it you have revelation, which is understanding.
That's right.
But none of that does you any good until you apply it.
That's
application. And when you make that application, then there will be manifestation of your expectancy. And so that's in any area of our life. And even those that are addicted, if you just take the first step.
To get the information.
Just get the information and be willing to submit to that information, which is the application. Then you'll see a progressive transformation. You'll see a change.
You'll
see a turnabout in your life. This is for those out there that are addicted. You can't worry about if you'll be strong enough to hold on tomorrow. One day at a time. Old song my grandmother used to like, one day at a time, sweet Jesus. And so you take it one day at a time
because
tomorrow's not promised you. And today is the day
to make your choice. I'm in total agreement with that. Get the information. So if you're someone out there and you're still struggling with addiction, just know that God wants you free.
Yeah.
Get the information. Plug into a AA program of some sort, a 12-step program of some sorts.
you know, get yourself connected to a ministry or body of Christ right. that has an understanding of addiction and have people who are willing to work with you. Find someone mm-hmm. that you can trust and get the correct information. You know how addiction affects your body. Know what it means to experience the phenomenon of craving. You need to understand the biological and the physiological right. effects of drug abuse. Yeah. You know, prolonged use. What does it do to your mind? How does it affect your body? Mm-hmm. Get some information. Then, like Pastor said, once you get that information, then you're able to take that information and apply it to your life, apply it to your everyday life, mm-hmm. and then you will see the manifestation. We will begin to see ourselves stay sober just for today.
That's right.
And then just tomorrow, for just for today.
Just for today. Yeah.
Just for today. And when you look up, little mm-hmm. by little, you will have accumulated all these days.
That's right.
You know, all these days have now turned into weeks and turned into years. Mm-hmm. And you really weren't trying to stay sober for 5 years.
Yeah.
You were just trying to stay sober just for today.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes we do get overwhelmed by trying to do too much.
And guess what? You get new mercies every day.
Oh, my goodness. Brand new mercies every day.
Yes, thank you.
Something mm-hmm. up in here.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, God gives you what you need when you need it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, praise and so I think that that's so powerful that we have to be able to see that. Evangelist, do you want to have the last word? We have about 2 more minutes here. I do want to remind everybody to meet us at Victory Temple tonight, which is Pastor LaVar St. Germain's Church, 815 John Street. She's going to be there tonight at 7 o'clock. Come out and hear an awesome word of God, a word of encouragement, a word of inspiration. Our guests that are here will also be there tonight. And so, and even other people who are in recovery, I know I will be there and other people from Restoration Ministries. Our number is 812-305-9677. Evangelist, any last words? Prophetess Monet, if you want to give us your contact information before we leave the air.
Just remember to pray for his grace, reach for his glory, honor his word, and glorify his name.
Yes.
To God be the glory.
Yes, yes.
My prayer for you is that you live as long as you want and never want as long as you live.
Wow.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for that. Pastor Beverly?
Well, I'd just like to say that whatever it is that you believe that God has you doing, mm-hmm. stay faithful,
mm-hmm.
diligent,
mm-hmm.
and obedient to it.
Right.
Amen.
Pastor Lavelle, please take us out. Just wrap us up.
Us out with a quote from Nelson Mandela.
Okay.
You will remain the same until the pain of remaining the same is greater than the pain of change.
Wow. Wow. Thank you, Evansville, for joining us today with our guest, Evangelist Beverly Brodus Green, all the way from Rancho Cucamonga, California.
Yes.
We have been so honored by your presence. Thank God for the work that you're doing and for what you're going to continue to do for the lives that you have changed and those that will be changed in the future. And to you, Prophetess Monet, mighty woman of God, thank you for the vision to love all people.
Amen.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Yes.
Pastor Lavelle, we are so grateful to you, whom God used to bring Prophetess Monet, Pastor Jose Beverly, Pastor Evangelist Beverly Brodus Green. We are thanking God for you, Pastor Lavelle. And we are just so fortunate to have you. And thanks to the pump.
Yeah.
Goodbye, Evansville.
Lisa, we love you.